In an ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. Life changes indeed. As a matter of fact, I've been so excited about this show, Memorial Day. So many people are off, and so more people are listening actually on the day of the show, which is kind of exciting. And I've come up with 6 or 7 monologues throughout the week as to what I was going to say today. And then last night, I had a dream. And that's true, I had a dream. Actually, it was more early this morning. And it tied so well into our guest today that I thought, now I have to talk about this. So our guest today is Annette Pappas. And as we've been talking about and talking with the different people we've had on the show, we really have been talking about ordinary people, including myself, who are doing extraordinary things. Can I include myself in that? Extraordinary meaning outside of the ordinary, and we all are capable of doing that. And sometimes it's just a different way of thinking, which leads us into extraordinary ways of being. And Annette Pappas embodies that. And we'll talk more about her in just a few minutes, but the beauty about her and interviewing her right now is that she's still in process, and of course, so are all we. But, I won't give it away. She's still in process, and you'll understand why when we bring her on. So, my dream. Before I tell you about my dream, let's see. About, 15, 16, 17 years ago, I'm not doing really great with dates and numbers today, about that many years ago, when I left the corporate world, my brother, who at the time was already thinking outside the box, and one can argue that we came into this world thinking outside the box, and then we were made to fit in a box, and then we started to, independent of each other, started to try and find our way out of the box that we had been made to fit in. So my brother kind of shyly said to me, you know, there's a convention going on in town. I've never been to it, but it talks about strange things, and I'm curious. I'm wondering if you're curious enough to come with me. And I don't remember the name of the convention, but it was like a UFO convention and paranormal kind of thing. So at one point, I had just left the corporate world, by the way, so my hair wasn't that long. For those of you who know that I have been sporting long hair for many years now, my hair wasn't that long. At the time, even my casual dress was more business casual because I worked all the time, and that hasn't changed much either, but I just wear different things when I work now. But so I still kind of looked businessy because of the clothes I was wearing, and I was very, very much within the corporate structure, the way I spoke and all of that. And I didn't know any of these things that we're talking about on the show, actually, which is part of the reason for the show. So I said to my brother, sure, if you're going, I'll go with you. It'll be fun, something we can do together, and, you know, we might learn something. So we went. And at one point, he decided to go to a particular seminar that I had no interest in, and I decided to go to another one that he had no interest in. And I was reading the little blurb on the seminar that I chose to go to that afternoon, and it said that there was a channeler. Now, I didn't know channelers from the knob on my television, because at the time, we had knobs. Okay, maybe not, but I grew up with knobs. on televisions, and that was to change the channel. So I didn't know what a channeler was, and I remember asking my brother, saying, do you know anything about this? And he says, no. And this guy supposedly gets information from someplace else, and I don't know, how bad could it be? So I walked into this seminar, and I already had started to fill up, and I would say I sat about six rows back in the middle of maybe 25 people on one side and 25 people on the other of the row. And then the rows filled up behind us. So it was quite, kind of a full seminar. And I sat there, and the gentleman who was going to be speaking or channeling came in and started to say, in a moment, I'm going to be channeling the captain of the Starship Fleet Command, blah, 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 from the galaxy, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, wow, this is pretty bad. I thought, how bad could it get? Well, it just got bad, and it was going to get worse, because I certainly didn't believe that there was a galaxy, starship, fleet command, captain, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, much less that this man was going to channel. So I'm thinking, should I go? Would that be rude? Would that be weird? And I was having those thoughts. And all of a sudden he said, so I'm about to channel now. And he closed his eyes, and his body did some movements, and then all of a sudden he puts on this voice, and I am blah, 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 and I am channeling blah, you know, I'm all this stuff. And I thought, whoa, I've taken acting classes before, but this was pretty bad acting. And I was embarrassed that I was actually sitting there, and what would my friends at my ex-work think, and what am I going to tell my brother? I couldn't wait to compare notes with his seminar and said, I should have come to yours. And now I really wanted to leave. But I couldn't, because it would just be too obvious and too rude. So I just sat and listened to this man. I thought, you know, an hour of my time, what am I going to do? And so he said some really interesting things. Some actually things that I would now consider very important, but at the time, interesting and apropos. So I listened and I listened, and then he asked if anybody wanted to ask questions. So my hand shot up without me realizing that it had. And he had his eyes closed, but maybe he was peeking. And he was at the same level as all of us were. We were in a hotel convention room, so he wasn't on a stage, and we weren't on a raised floor or in a theater seating. It was all one level, so he couldn't really see me, but I raised my hand, and he saw my hand and said, you over there, what is your question, young man? And I asked him a question, and he proceeded to say things about me that I don't know how he knew, but he was right on as to where I was in my life and what I was doing, and maybe someday I'll get into the questions that I asked him. But the one question that I wanted to talk about today, I said to him, or I asked him, how do you know if you've made the wrong decision in life? Because at that point, like I said, I had just left corporate America. And he said, there is no such thing as a wrong decision. You're going to end up where you're going to end up. It's just how you choose to get there. And he said, a lot of people are waiting for God to strike them with lightning so that they know, they want a sign. God, give me a sign that I'm on the right track. And he says, we have signs all the time. When you're talking about something that is on your path, that is part of your journey, you get excited about it. You can talk about it all day. Your voice starts to go up in pitch. You start to speak more quickly. You get butterflies in your stomach. You might get a little excited, or your temperature might go up a little bit. He said, how many more signs do we need? So he said, what you have chosen to do, all those signs for you are there. And so in essence, I had made the right decision leaving corporate America, because when I talked about what I wanted to do, I got excited about it. And when I talked about corporate America, I wasn't that excited about it anymore at that time. So that brings me to this weekend, where I volunteered to do something that I didn't want to do, and nobody forced me to do it. As a matter of fact, nobody even suggested or expected me to do it. But I volunteered to do it, and I set out to do it, and when I was doing it, I was miserable, and I couldn't believe I was doing this. And so I had the presence of mind to call a friend, and I said to her, I don't want to do this. And I started to go through the whole rationale as to why I should do it, why I'm here, why it's important, why this, why that. And she just stopped me and said, Filippo, stop. Don't do it. Just don't do it. And all of a sudden, all that rationale, the hours that I had actually already invested in doing what I didn't want to do, all of a sudden I could just stop it and not do it. And then I started to get excited about the things that I was going to do this weekend. And my breathing returned to normal, or started to get more excited, and my voice started to go up, and, oh, okay, well, maybe you'd go. The signs are there. So, in closing, this morning, I had a dream. And in the dream, something terrible had happened. It wasn't that terrible. Where the motor of my car had been stolen. Okay. And as I got to my car, I watched these people drive away, and I just knew they had the motor of my car, which maybe I'm revealing too much. I wonder what it means. But I'll tell you what I got out of it. That I had learned in my dreams to stop and fix it and say, I got to fix this before I wake up so that it doesn't end this way. Like, I find the people that did it, in this case, who did it, or I catch them while they're doing it, or I don't go where I went into so that I don't leave my car where it was. But instead, this morning, I said, I don't have to fix anything. It is what it is. Just wake up. And instantly, I woke up. And it was over. It was over. Like the situation this weekend with my friend saying, Filippo, just stop. In other words, wake up. And in a sense, with whether I should leave the corporate world at the time, which was a decision, I could just stop and go after what it is that does make me happy. And like this morning, waking up made me happy because I didn't have to deal with the situation. I was so proud of myself. And so how many things I thought today in my life that I'm looking at saying, wow, what a nightmare this is, or wow, why is this this way? What if I just stopped and woke up and then started looking at the clues of what makes me excited and where I do want to spend my time and energy? And I want to spend my time and energy talking to you all today as we're doing here at Life Changes. I want to remind you all that this is Life Changes with Filippo, and you can learn more about us at www.lifechanges.ws. And you're listening to me, if you're listening to me live, on the BBS radio network. And then if you're listening to our archives, then you're probably hearing that at our website. So our guest today, as I mentioned before, is Annette Pappas. And it's very special having her on the show for many reasons. And before we get into that, we'll get into that when she's here, but she owns her own company called Avatar Consulting, which specializes in assisting people and companies with aligning their true potential and dreams. She has a degree in computer science and recently, quote, retired from a Fortune 500 company as senior engineer and project manager. As a matter of fact, her story and mine around the corporate world have some similarities. I wonder if we're going to get into that or not. She has extensive experience with managing people and business alignment and vision. Her passion for helping people took her down a journey 7 years ago into expanding her knowledge of body, mind, and spirit. She has a special interest in energy, frequencies, and quantum physics. She is a certified hypnotherapist, a graphologist, and Reiki master and has many hours and certificates learning about alternative medicine, energy medicine, channeling, alchemy, body talk, and various other spiritual and metaphysical modalities. Her passion has directed her in helping people who are struggling with the day-to-day issues in a business or in a personal life. She has a tender spot to ensuring the children of our future, especially the indigo, rainbow, crystal, and star children, are heard and taken care of. She helps support several projects and profit companies and nonprofit organizations such as Peace One Project, Global Peace Project, Children Mending Hearts, Me for Me, Love Project, Q on Q, and Angel Love. And actually, the resume goes on for several more pages. But I'm going to go ahead and welcome to the show, Annette Pappas.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Thank you for being with us. It's always lovely to see you.
Yes, likewise.
You know, did you get to hear the beginning of the show?
A little bit. I caught the end of it.
Oh, okay.
And, you were talking about the corporate world, which definitely resonates with me because I spent 20 years in the corporate world. And also heard you talking about following your passion and not having to do the things that doesn't make you feel right. And I do want to comment on that because I think during these times, we are going through some very interesting times where I think a lot of people are being challenged with looking at what they really want. You know, having to really look at who's playing in their sandbox and who do you want in that sandbox.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we have an interesting way of positioning ourselves where somebody's in our sandbox or a position or a situation that you don't want in your sandbox, you need to get it out.
Or get them out.
Get them out, exactly.
you know, I went through the corporate world experience, and I'm glad I did. Are you?
Oh, definitely. You learn a lot. You experience a lot of pain and suffering, but you experience really finding out who you are or what you don't want to do. You know, a lot of things that I found is you basically sell your soul to the devil, in a sense, because you are at work, you know, long hours trying to meet deadlines and putting your heart and soul in something where a corporation will say, well, we really don't need that anyways. And you kind of feel, well, that's part of my blood there. You in my time and away from the family and stuff, and now you don't want to use it. I mean, so it was very valuable. You learn a lot.
Well, you know, I believe in passing on what we learn so others don't have to learn that. They may have other things to learn, and their path may just be as hard, but at least they don't have to learn that. It's kind of like moving the information forward, right?
Right, definitely.
So let's share a little bit about what you learned, and before we do that, let's share a little bit of your story. You worked in the corporate world for over 20 years, right?
Over 20 years, right.
In a high-level position with a Fortune 500 company.
Right.
So you were deeply engraved in all that.
Very. Yes.
We could say. And you also were a wife and a mother, and you still are, and now a grandmother,
right,
or have been for years, which is hard to believe.
Right.
And you picked up and followed your passion, which led you to where?
Totally a new life. I think I finally was able to listen to my passion. I think what you were saying is we sometimes get into a role where we feel like we have to go do something just because that's the norm. And I think when you really start listening to what's going on inside, your true passion will come out and you'll eventually go there. And for me, I spent 20 years in the Fortune 500 company. I felt very hollow. I felt not complete. I felt like there was a part of me that wasn't being fed. And I just started searching. And all of a sudden, my whole life changed, even to the point where, you know, I just got in the car one day and left everything behind.
Now she was in Texas.
Texas, right.
So you got in the car from Texas, and you went east. West.
Drove to California, right.
California is the place you ought to be, so she loaded up her car and moved to near Beverly.
Right. So, yeah, and it was very unexpected. It's, I think you go through life and you're just all of a sudden have to make decisions. You know, do you turn left, right, or go forward? And with me, it got to the point where I just made a decision, and it was, I don't know really where it came from. It just felt right, and it needed to be done because I had so much emptiness and hollowness, and there was just a lot of stuff wrapped around the situation that I knew I couldn't control anymore, and it wasn't who I was anymore.
You know, having been steeped in the corporate culture for over 20 years, having focused so much of your time, love, and attention on the children and the grandchildren and the house, because you had a beautiful house and the upkeep of it and all of that, and you just, how do you just leave that? Because I have to say, you definitely are a role model for women that are listening to this, saying, can I do that too?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you have to do is really find out, hear your inner self, and really stay in tune with who you are. I think a lot of people, they just go through the motions, you know, because it's the normal. We have to get up, we have to go do a job, we have to go pay bills, we have to come home, we have to clean house, we, you know, have to feed kids. And it gets to the point that everything is, we're more or less like robots, and we're not really paying attention to where our soul needs to go. And I think one day I just finally, my soul said, enough's enough. You know, I want you to listen to your true path. And so I did. And to be honest with you, I'm not even sure where that true path is.
Right. And that's why I think it's really interesting to be talking to you at this moment, because you're in such a great place that you've left that, and you know there's no going back there.
Right.
And yet you're still in this place where you don't exactly know what the future is, which is really where we all really are.
Right.
It's just that we think we know when we're living in that world of living in our bubble. And that's part of what this show is about. I mean, life changes, and we have to honor it and accept the changes and anticipate them, knowing that life changes. We can't just stay stagnant, because something is happening.
Oh yeah,
we're all the time.
We're evolving. I mean, this is what the whole human race is about, is evolution. And one of the things that I always used to say is, you know, if you're not changing, it will change, because there's no such thing as a human not evolving.
Well, you said something interesting, that your choice was either to do what you did, or to stay and face consequences. It's interesting the kind of consequences you thought could happen to you physically. Like, let's talk about that.
Sure. I mean, for me to stay?
If you stayed, right. You were talking about diseases. You know, life is going to make you.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely what will change. End up happening. If you don't listen, you know, you're going to have feelings that are going to come up. You know, since I've been in alternative medicine, I've really had a better understanding of why we carry some of the diseases and illnesses that we do. You know, it's about every emotion is tied to an illness. And so if you know, really sit and analyze, why do I carry this pain, or why do I carry this illness? You know, look at the source to find out, you know, what the root of the cause is. And I think that's why a lot of the United States and even the world is so chronic ill, is because they're not really looking inside to find out what that emotion is, and just, you know, eliminating that emotion and that issue from their life, and forgiveness, or in you know, whatever the issue may be.
So there are a lot of women out there, and men too, who are doing what they don't want to do, or staying in relationships that they don't want to stay in, or taking care of family they don't want to take care of, because it's the quote-unquote right thing to do. But then they end up getting sick, or they end up having issues of their own, right. And you're saying it's inevitable. You either do what you're here to do, or you're going to, life is going to make you do it.
Life is going to push you into the direction. Now, you know, before we come here on Earth, you know, we have this plan that we have to go through certain life lessons and grow, and there's certain people that are just supposed to be in our life to challenge us, to, you know, help us flex that muscle and grow that muscle. So once you experience that test in life and accomplish it, then you get to go to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times we get hung up in that one little test. We never be able to graduate to the next, you know, the next class or the next issue. So what we find is we become depressed. Our soul is trying to talk to us, and we're in this, you know, dog chasing his tail. We don't know how to move forward.
Or we take drugs.
And we take drugs and numb it, and which is bad because you're never able to get out of that rat race that you're in. And so this is where it's very important, is listen to what your inner self is saying, because that is your soul talking to you to say, either learn this lesson or you're going to be in this lesson. If you're not going to learn it, then you're going to be suffering, whether it's going to be illness or relationships or whatever. And you don't have to stay in a relationship just to take care of somebody, because it's not your responsibility a lot of times.
Mm.
And, you know, every situation is going to be a little bit different, but you just got to be true to yourself.
Well, you know, it's so wonderful to hear you giving this advice, because if I know somebody who needs it, it's you, because you're in process, and we all do. And we're all in process. And how many times do we have the answers, and we say them, and then we it's like a
roller coaster.
Yes, and we have our down days, and this is exactly what we need to hear.
Right, and you know, last week was probably one of the most difficult times of my life. I am in the middle of a divorce because
right.
you know
yes.
I left, and it was something that I didn't want to do, but I found myself where I was not being able to be in an environment where I felt I could spiritually and physically grow. My husband is an alcoholic, and it killed me every day to come home and see him kill himself.
Mm.
And he's a diabetic, and I, you know, kept asking him, please, 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 you know, if you don't stop drinking, at least do it for the family if you're not going to do it for you. And it just progressively got worse. And then, you know, there's a long story behind it, but I had to finally get myself out of that pain and take responsibility of knowing that I can't change this person. I can't make this person change if he doesn't want to change. And for me to suffer my life, because my life is a value, I needed to make a decision. And it was one of the most painful decisions. And I think a lot of my decision was thinking, okay, if I left, maybe that would awake him up a little bit, because I know that he, sometimes people have to hit the very bottom before they can make a change.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that was my love to him that says, okay, you know, I have to file for a divorce because I don't know what else to do for you or for me, and, you know, move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. I had a very comfortable lifestyle. We had a couple of businesses, you know, cars, property. I just left it because it was that painful for me to stay in the middle of it.
Wow.
And go ahead.
Yeah, you know, there's another side of this too, because being able to have the confidence to go follow your passion is one thing, but when the whole world is against you, because it's not California, it's Texas, and I'm not putting Texas down in any way, but there are people here that think a lot like what we're talking about, but there seem to be, at least from what I know, a lot less people there that think like this. So from peer pressure, if I look at it, you're the one that left your husband.
No, I'm doomed. I have
you
been
left
persecuted.
Your family.
I've been persecuted over it.
And grandchildren.
Exactly. Yes, yes.
And so how do you reconcile that? And maybe it's not supposed to be reconciled, but how?
Well, and you're right. It was a very painful, and I'm it wrong.
In their line of thinking.
In
some
their
line,
of,
line
thing, of thinking. Exactly. You know, I'm the one that filed the divorce. It doesn't matter if, you know, my husband's an alcoholic and caused pain and, you know, fear and et cetera, and his life in danger. But for me to go back and hear, well, Mom, you're the one that filed for divorce.
Oh, or, even your children.
Yeah, and even my ex-husband-to-be is, well, you're the one that filed for divorce. So, you know, why are you in the divorce? You know, and it's of course, the mother-in-law and the father-in-law, you know, I'm their worst enemy. Where, you know, a week prior to the filing of divorce, you know, they love me. How can someone turn feelings on off in one day? And so it was interesting because no one wants to have dialogue with me, and so it's tough. But it's to me, it's God's way of showing me that this is a lesson that we learn to be steadfast in the belief. I have to trust, and I know what I did is right because I have a life too, and a lot of it's just having that sincere feeling of trusting, knowing that everything's going to come out better.
Mm. Wow. I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Annette Pappas on Life Changes with Filippo. And I am Filippo, and I am so happy that we're having this show because, to me, we talk about ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Well, in this case, it's hard to call Annette an ordinary people, but she has found inside herself, in her perhaps ordinary life or traditional life, she has found that she is extraordinary, and that we all are extraordinary, that we all have the potential to do what she does. You know, mothers that lift cars up when their children are under them, that's just an extraordinary use of power in that way. Well, you being able to do what you do is an extraordinary use of that kind of power. So to learn more about Annette, go to lifechanges.ws, and you can learn about her on our webpage and our website, and you can also find how to get a hold of her if you want to talk to her about her consulting business. And also, you'll be able to hear this interview and be able to share it with your friends if you're interested in doing that. So let's talk about, gosh, we could go for hours on that alone, and we have.
We have, yeah.
but, you know, unfortunately, we have to move on, and fortunately at the same time, because there's so much good ahead. You have already touched so many lives and so many companies and so many organizations, and you haven't even started yet, really. Then you say you don't even know what you want to do, and you're already out there helping so many people. Now, before we get into that, you have learned some really fascinating things that you've shared with me, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, I've been on this path for so much longer than she is. How is she getting this, and where, and how exciting, and thank you for sharing. Let's talk about the children.
Children.
That's one of the things that I haven't learned as much about as you have.
Oh, well, you know, the children, I think right now, is somewhat being neglected. Since we are going through a shift in time and shift in consciousness and energies and stuff, the kids that are coming into the world today and have been for the past 25-ish years come in with a different disposition to them. And I have found, as I'm talking a lot with the teenagers and the 20-year-olds, that some of them have felt like they don't fit in, and they don't understand. Sometimes they want to just lock themselves in their room and not come out. They want to play games. And
well, wait, some of us feel that way. We're not children. So.
Exactly, that's true. But the thing that I have found is some of these children really having a hard time fitting in because they are of a different energies and they have a different DNA structures that is more aligned with the new energies that are coming in with the age of Aquarius. And so what a lot of the parents are finding themselves very frustrated because they don't know how to interact with them. They think, you know, they think, oh, they're having ADD or we need to drug them with Ritalin, which is very sad because basically, a lot of these children they're actually more advanced than we are. They carry a lot more knowledge of the knowing. They already know the answers. They just want someone to tell it to them to reawaken what they already know. And so, it's interesting to watch the different children. I mean, some of them, they're what they call super psychic kids that you can hand them a picture and they can look and they can they can tell the person's name, their social security number, where they live.
Really?
So it's, yeah, some of the kids that are coming in are very, very powerful kids. And so My passion is to embrace these children because I think they're so misunderstood. And I sometimes talk to children that are more knowledgeable than me. And they can be 10, 9, 10, 11-year-old. And all they want is to be heard. And they're very, they have a lot of knowledge that we should, you know, us older folks need to really sit down and listen to.
Now you're not saying, I mean, because there have always been children, and have the children that have always been in the past known more than their parents, or it's just this particular time?
Well, it's going to go through this particular time because they have more of a knowing a piece of understanding of what's happening. If you kind of follow through in the last 20 years, look at the even how the children interact with one another and how they integrate with other races. I mean, when I was growing up, you know, we didn't intermingle with different races. Mm-hmm. It was just very, your clan sticks with your clan and this one over here, and there was such a division in the schools. But now the kids, they don't look at color normally. They don't look at different things. They want to co-mingle. And it has a different resonance, I guess you could say, when they talk with each other. And so it's about peace. I think the kids now are looking more for peace and not so much anger. You know, I think this is, and ultimately it's going to do is shift how we even start interacting with other countries and stuff. It's because we all are one, and the kids know this. The kids know this.
You shared with me some knowledge that you had come to about children being able to read books without opening them.
Yes. It's amazing. I think Dr. Emoto was one of the guys who helped with this broadcast that he had put it together, where the children could physically in Asia. Well, let me kind of back up a little bit. The Asians have noticed that there was some uniqueness amongst their children. And so what they would do is they would take these children out and set them aside and kind of groom these children. Unfortunately, we have the same children classification, but we classify them as attention deficit. So we drug our children, whereas in Asia, they more or less set them aside and they groom them and try to get an understanding to why these children are different. And so what they found is these children are able to tap into the frequencies of things around them. So what they were doing is they were given books to children. It doesn't matter what language. And they would help facilitate them to pick up the energy. So the children just lay their hand on the book and then would explain to the teacher what was in the book. Or they would fan it across their nose and they would explain with the smells or the ear to say, okay, this book had this story. So it's a different concept. I mean, when you start talking to people of our generations in 30, 40, 50, 60, we're like, well, these, you know, what is going on?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. But this is the children of the now. The children have different capability, telepathy, and all this stuff that we normally aren't exposed to.
So the children can judge a book by its cover.
Can. Yes, they can.
Wow, it's amazing. And what I love about this is that what 7 years ago you didn't know anything about this, and now this has become so much a part of your life.
Right. It's kind of fun. It's been fun, but it's also been a passion, and it's a yearning for me to get in touch with the children because I want the children to have a voice. And that's one of the projects that I just recently started in about 2 weeks ago, is to be able to maybe start interviewing children that are willing to come up and just, you know, talk about what's on their mind, because to me it's important. I want to know what's on their mind because they are of value and they are loved. And I know some of these kids out there, they're not being heard and they don't feel loved. They feel isolated and alone and they don't know what's happening. And they are sensitive to a lot of the surroundings and energies around them. And they don't know what's going on. They're very feeling displaced and depressed.
You know, the sad thing is that the parents are probably feeling the exact same thing, only maybe the parents don't have the faculty or the answers, and maybe the children do. What a paradigm shift.
It is a paradigm shift, and this is one of the key things that I'm concerned about, is we have not shifted in our education how to teach these children, because these children that, you know, are not linear anymore. They don't want ABCs. They want everything now, quantum physics. Children want things now. If you don't believe me, go ask them.
Well, children have always wanted things now, but and some of us still want them, but what do you mean by they want it now? They
want all the
more
answers.
Than just that.
Yeah, they don't want the answers in bits and pieces. They want it now, and they have a sense of knowing. And this is where when a teacher or a parent or something comes up and talks to a child, and the child will ask, well, how come I can't do this? And the teacher or the parent will give this off the wall, because I said so. It's very irritating to them. They want to know the reason why they can't do it.
Because they can do logic.
They want to do logic, and they want justifications. And the kids these days, they can see through lies.
Oh, yes. Yes. Absolutely. And they read people.
They see through lies, and they don't have any tolerance for all this blah, blah, blah. They just cut the story straight or forget it.
I've seen children how they'll attach themselves to certain people and completely stay away from others.
Mm-hmm.
They know.
It knows, yeah, they know.
Wow, and they don't have to go through the same lessons that we have been going through, and some of us still are.
No, but they are challenged with a little bit more difficult lessons, because now how do they integrate into a world where there's such a division of separation, if you will, you know, the old way and the new way, and because they are more sensitive to the frequencies. They're more in tune to it.
You know, that's why I thought this was such a perfect time, and I'm glad Dorothy booked you for the show, because you know, here you are, you have this passion that's just about to explode, and we talked about this children's project a couple weeks ago, and you don't know what it's going to look like, but you know it's there.
It's there.
And so, but something that is here already is the Avatar Consulting, and I thought that was interesting too, because here you are helping people and businesses kind of align themselves with the new frequencies or the new way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
How is that going? Are people resistant?
Well, they are. A lot of them want to stay in the old way. You know, we are shifting into the age of Aquarius, so you have to change more. It's going to be more of a feminine energy. So the less that you have going forward that wraps yourself so much around masculine energy, you're going to be better off looking at feminine energies. So when you start structuring a company, you need to look at what is it going to be. Is it going to be a heavier energy or a lighter energy? Because as it moves forward, as evolution, you need to be in sync with how things are going to integrate.
You know, Annette, I have to interrupt you because I studied engineering and I have a degree in it. And I know that to be a senior engineer and product manager for a Fortune 500 company, you had to be steeped in logic. You had to be steeped in proof. You had to be steeped in processes and flow charts and all this stuff. Like you have to be able to see, hear, feel, and taste that this is true. And I know, so you've done this, you know, all your life. That's how your mind thinks. I know.
And it has been a hindrance at times.
Exactly.
Because I constantly want to look at everything at 360. I want to know the answers. I want to know what is going to be at this angle, or that angle. And so, yeah, I use a lot of the left brain, which is of the masculine.
Right.
Energy, yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So now you're a hypnotherapist and a Reiki master and a graphologist, and you're interested in alternative medicine and energy medicine, channeling, alchemy, you know, body talk. That's not stuff that, as of yet, we have the scientific understanding of how it all works. So how did you change? And if you could change, boy, we all can.
You know, it was definitely has been a journey, and it just shifted. And I asked my dad a question one day, which really changed my life. You know, when I was in the corporate rat race and trying to get the family taken care of and the yard taken care of and the house taken care of, you know, my life was passing by. I didn't get to see my parents, and my aunts and uncles were passing away, and friends I used to know I no longer know. And I just was very hollow, and I walked up to my dad and said, "Dad, I don't understand the meaning of life." And, you know, I come from a very strong Christian background, German background, and very, you know, Lutheran, you know, having to have a very strong religious view of things. And my dad, you know, looked at me, and which I never thought he was a very philosophical guy, but he turned to me and he put his finger right in my face, and he had this little stern look, and he said, "Danette, everybody's meaning of life is different. You've got to find your own meaning.
You've got to find your own meaning."
So we don't all have to fit in the same box, you know. We're unique. We're different. And if we all were the same, this would be a very dull world to live in. And so we each have our own things we like and dislike, and our passions, and the things that we need to move forward to. And one of the things that I hold on to is, every person is special in this world. Mm-hmm. If one person is not here, just think how that would shift everything. Because that person may not be a mother, so therefore that other person who could be someone famous or a president or something won't be there. So everybody in this world has a meaning and a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're held back from not really living their true experience and their true dreams, then it's not only hurting that person, but it's also hurting the world.
So your journey up until now, you were of this world, and you were, or you were in this world, and you were mother, you were wife, you were grandmother, and whatever else, daughter, and all that stuff, and that was right for that time. So you're not looking back and saying, "Oh, what a big mistake."
No, because you learn things. I mean, it's about evolution. You have to go through certain experiences in life and gather and learn your lessons and then move on. The key thing is being able to look at those things that you learned and those experiences and say, "Okay, now I have what I came for. Now I need to move forward." And I wish I could say life is just as simple as that. Well, let me check, and then I can move forward. But I think the key message that I'd like to have everybody is, listen to your inner self. Listen to you. Because when you don't feel good about something, that sixth sense, if you don't feel like you're balanced or you don't feel well, there's a reason. And a lot of us don't pay attention. We don't tune into that inner self.
And that's how I started the show with my dream of, I didn't have to change the dream. All I had to do was just wake up.
Right.
So you didn't have to change your ex-husband to be, or your children, or anything. You just had to wake up for yourself and do what you had to do. And the other piece of it was with the story about the channeler who said, "You have the clues, all the signs you need right inside of you."
Exactly.
And you're saying the same thing. What if it doesn't feel right? Then it's not right.
That's right. And I think going forward, a lot of people are now being forced with really evaluating who they are, because, you know, you're going to be presented with having to make decisions and who is going to be playing in your sandbox, if you will. Because if you continue letting people in this sandbox or these opportunities or these issues keep coming into your sandbox, then the universe is going to allow that to happen. But once you start taking steps into making a correction of who you are and becoming who you really are, you're shifting that frequency. And so, therefore, you're going to start attracting different things. So if you're going to start shifting and attracting things that you want, well, guess what's going to come your way? The things you want, and not the things you don't want.
Well, I must have wanted you.
Oh, thank you.
Because here you are, and I'm so glad you're playing in our sandbox here at Life Changes, because this has been such a blast, and we've gotten so many comments already from people that are saying they couldn't wait to hear the show because of the inspiration that you are.
Oh, thank you.
And you're just being the extraordinary person that you came here to be.
Well, that's what I think. Everybody is extraordinary, and
exactly.
I think the message is find it inside yourself.
Exactly.
Because everyone is special.
And take that ordinary to extraordinary and do extraordinary things. Well, This has been extraordinary, and we're looking for even more extraordinary things from you real soon. And I want to remind everybody that we've been talking to Annette Pappas, and that you can learn more about her and be able to contact her through our website at lifechanges.ws. Annette, thank you so much, and I can't wait to see what
transpires.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, we'll make sure we'll update everybody as well. Thank you so much for being on the show today. Well, with that, let's talk about the tools of how to be the change. And for that segment, we bring on our very own producer and spiritual advisor, or cosmic advisor, or I could go on and on, Dorothy Lee Donahue.
Hi. That was great. I've been happily divorced for over 38 years now, and I believed that I would never fall in love again. However, I went through quite a few relationships and nearly got married several times. Fortunately, I didn't marry any of these guys, and I'm really happy about that, because I realized that what I was experiencing wasn't really love at all, but just an old pattern that I kept repeating until I finally saw it for what it was. And then I chose to stop it. A few years ago, I fell in love, really in love, and I loved as if I would never be hurt. And although the man I chose to love this way, excuse me, died, I was so happy that I did love him, without any expectations whatsoever. And the magic we shared was worth all of the heartbreak that I had previously undergone. I truly believe that the greatest happiness and our greatest sorrows come in what we call relationships with others. I believe that most of us experience reactionships, and very few of us are lucky enough to understand that when we choose to take 100% responsibility for our happiness, we will have it. How is it possible? People ask me. It takes a lot of self-discipline, and I'm constantly working on it, but I feel I'm getting better at it every day. We're so programmed to judge and to blame others for everything. We're taught to explain away our reasons for doing something that annoys other people, and I have to admit that I got very good at that. However, I want to be even better at relating to the ones I love, and I believe that I'm getting better at this. Self-awareness is the key to breaking old habits of mind and old patterns. Too often we immediately go into reaction and judgment with others because that's what we've been taught to do. If we're totally self-absorbed, which is often the case, then the universe will send us a mirror, or two, or three, or four, as many as it takes to wake us up. It's through remembering how to do relationships correctly that we learn and grow into the magnificent beings of love and light that we've come here to be. I want to share with you an excerpt from a book written by Al Ritter, The 100 and 0 Principles, because I believe it offers us some good advice regarding the creation of great and long-lasting relationships. According to Al, the most effective way to create and sustain good relationships is the 100-0 principle. You take full responsibility, that's the 100, for the relationship, expecting nothing, the 0, in return. Implementing the 100-0 principle is not natural for most of us. It takes real commitment to the relationship and a good dose of self-discipline to think, act, and give 100%. The 100% applies to those people in your life where the relationships are too important to react automatically or judgmentally. Each of us must determine the relationships to which the principle should apply. For most of us, it applies to work associates, customers, suppliers, family, and friends. Step 1, determine what you can do to make the relationship work. Then do it. Demonstrate respect and kindness to the other person, whether he, she deserves it or not. Step 2, do not expect anything in return. 0, zip, nada. Step 3, do not allow anything the other person says or does, no matter how annoying, to affect you. In other words, don't take the bait. Step 4. Be persistent with your graciousness and kindness. Often we give up too soon, especially when others don't respond in kind. Remember to expect nothing in return. At times, usually few, the relationship can remain challenging, even toxic, despite your 100% commitment and self-discipline. When this occurs, you need to avoid being the knower and shift to being the learner. Avoid knower statements, thoughts like, that won't work, I'm right, you're wrong, I know it and you don't, I'll teach you, that's just the way it is, I need to tell you what I know, etc. Instead, use learner statements, thoughts like, let me find out what's going on and try to understand the situation. I could be wrong. I wonder if there is anything of value here. I wonder if, etc. In other words, as a learner, be curious. Al's principal paradox. This may strike you as strange, but here's the paradox. When you take authentic responsibility for a relationship, more often than not, the other person quickly chooses to take responsibility as well. Consequently, the 100-0 relationship quickly transforms into something approaching 100-100. When that occurs, true breakthroughs happen for the individuals involved, their teams, their organizations, and their families. So please join me in implementing the 100-0 principle to all of our relationships, and let us co-create a better world for all of us by taking 100% responsibility for our happiness. And until next week, please remember that you are the power in your world. You are the guru you've been searching for. You're the only one who can end your suffering, and you can only do this by beginning a love affair with yourself. Please choose to become a very conscious co-creator by making elegant choices, and never forget that you are powerful beyond measure, and that you are love, you are lovable, and you are loved.
Indeed. Thank you, Dorothy. That was great. I like that. That certainly is a tool, or several tools there, actually, that we could use to being the change we wish to see in the world, being better people, having better relationships. Thank you. I like that a lot. And thank again. Everybody, thank Annette for me. We thank again Annette Pappas for being on the show today. That was quite not only enjoyable, but very enlightening and inspiring. And I want to say thank you. I want to say happy birthday. Well, thank you also to Mark Greger, our business manager, who is hopefully out celebrating in whatever way that he wants to. It's his birthday after all, but we just want to make sure that he knows that we're thinking of him while we're working on Memorial Day and on his birthday. I hope he's having fun. We love you, Mark. And with that, I don't know how this hour goes by so quickly, and I'm not the only one that says it. So many of you write that. The show should be 2 hours. Well, maybe someday it will. We'd all love to be able to include questions and answers with the guest every week, but that would require a longer show. And until that happens, it is what it is, and it's perfect. So remember, you can keep the conversation going during the week by visiting us and writing us on our website at lifechanges.ws. And you can connect with us on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, and who else, who knows what more. There's going to be different ways for us all to connect. And live events. You can connect with us, those of you who are near to Los Angeles, where we're doing them right now. You can connect with us at our live events. We're having another one coming up in July. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles. To learn more about them, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes with Filippo tonight. I, along with our host, Dorothy, and producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue and Mark LeJour, and our engineer, Seth Hendrick, thank you for being with us today and for being part of the show. and for being part of the change that we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.